NYYST.
Hold up, why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where the problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step I progress, no less. Go ahead and place your bets. Cause we know we, yeah, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
Welcome back. This is episode 508 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and look what I found, my co-host, Sem.
What is up?
I don't know, bro. You tell everybody. It's probably been a good month since you've been on air here, so why don't you tell everybody what you've been up to, how you're feeling? You know, catch everybody up before we dive into everything.
I had hip surgery.
Yeah, they know that. Stop milking.
Then
that.
I got blessed with the super virus that everybody's been getting for 2-3 weeks. And then I got a kidney stone. It's been an interesting month and a half for me. You're going to fill me in on some baseball news today, I'm sure.
Well, it just sounds like you've been as miserable as ever.
I'm more miserable than ever. I kind of just lay in bed all day long. It's nice, but then it's not nice, but it's nice.
You know, far be it from me to get you out of bed. I mean, if that's what you wanted to do today, you did not have to grace us with your presence.
No, now I'm in my recliner with my feet up.
So let's get all the bookkeeping out of the way here. We are on the NYYST podcast. You're listening to this on your favorite podcast platform on Monday morning. So hopefully you are subscribed to the show. And if not, please do so. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star rating and review. It is the final season of NYYST, but we still love to see all the positive feedback and help drive us up the charts. So it can help make this the best season yet for NYYST. Also, if you've been following along, I'll announce it here now. My new limited run Rocky podcast, The Thrill of the Fight, 50 Years of Rocky, will debut this Wednesday, January 14th, right here on this very same feed. So it's also more, if you're interested in catching that, it's even more of a reason why you should be subscribed to the show. So it'll be delivered on this very same feed, so you don't have to go out anywhere else looking for it. And also make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground. I'll be there this Thursday, you know, talking some Yankee baseball. So if you want to support the channel and catch me on Thursday, you can do so there as well. That's kind of everything. Notwithstanding the New York Yankees here as we sit 11 days into January, have still not signed a significant free agent. I know that Paul Blackburn and Amed Rosario and Ryan Yarbrough are moves that were made, but that's not going to move the needle in any significant way. And this has been a offseason that has sort of replicated last offseason, but has also dragged on even longer for a worse player, which is getting increasingly frustrating, not only for me, but this fan base as well. Now, I've been on record numerous times. I'm a Cody Bellinger fan. I wanted him to return to the New York Yankees. I thought that 6-for-180, from my perspective, was a very fair deal for Cody Bellinger. But all the reporting coming out is that Cody Bellinger and his agent Scott Boras are holding this thing up. And now last night, it was reported that the talks have stalled and the Yankees are expecting Bellinger to sign elsewhere. Now, this has been a very topsy-turvy, up-and-down, roller-coastery offseason with Bellinger, which, you know, You hear one person say one thing, one person says another thing. So who do we believe Buster Olney that the Yankees are thinking that this is not going their way? I don't know. I mean, that's the latest reporting. That's what we're going to react to. And it could be a negotiation tactic from the Yankees, like, hey, we're ready to move on, you know, shit or get off the pot here. Or they could really truly be ready to move on here. I am ready. As somebody that wants Cody Bellinger back on this team, I am ready for the Yankees to move on here. I am ready to say to Cody Bellinger and Scott Boras, this is our offer. If you cannot find an offer that suits your liking, you can have this one out on the open market. But this is what we're offering. If you look at other free agents that have signed, Kyle Schwarber, Pete Alonso, and last night, Alex Bregman, all got 5-year deals. Cody Bellinger is turning 31 in July. So that means he will be playing his age 31 season in 2026. Pete Alonso is playing his age 31 season in 2026. He turned 31 in December. Alex Bregman is a year older, and Kyle Schwarber is a year older than Alex Bregman. So Pete and Cody graduated high school in 2013. Bregman in 2012, and Schwarber in 11. So they're all in the same age group, okay? And if you want to compare them as overall players, they're also all in that same talent pool. Maybe Belly's not the hitter, you know, power, especially power-wise, as some of the other guys, better defender. Bregman's probably the best of all of them. You take in his offense and defense. They're all getting 5-year deals. So what is going on with Boras and Bellinger that they think that they can get seven? I am ready for the New York Yankees to move on from Cody Bellinger because it's getting frustrating here. It's getting to a point where the Yankees are looking at their other options of things that they can do, and they're all potentially going to fall off the board here very quickly. We've seen them pass on pitching, and now we know that Bo Bichette, our probably main target for the Yankees, is ready to meet with the Phillies on Monday. And they might have an inside track because Don Mattingly just signed there to be their bench coach. And Bo Bichette and Don Mattingly have a relationship from their time together in Toronto. So where do the Yankees go if Cody Bellinger is stonewalling them at a seventh year? It's time for the Yankees to move on here. There becomes a point in time where the juice is not worth the squeeze. And Cody Bellinger is not worth the squeeze that he's putting the Yankees through right now. This isn't 2024's offseason where you're chasing down Juan Soto, a generational talent, and you are literally stuck in waiting for him to make his decision before you can go to your next move. Cody Bellinger is a nice baseball player. He's a good baseball player. He's a baseball player that has fit the New York Yankees almost perfectly in the sense that he plays really good defense at multiple positions. He's a guy that you can stick at the top of your lineup, a plus 800 OPS type of guy. I like Cody Bellinger for a lot of different reasons, but he's not somebody that holds up your entire offseason. If Cody Bellinger cannot come to the New York Yankees with a number that they feel comfortable with and he feels comfortable with, that's somebody that you can easily walk away from. I didn't want the Yankees to walk away from Cody Bellinger. I didn't want it to be a situation where the Yankees were clipping coupons for Cody Bellinger. But when you hear reporting from guys like Bob Klapisch that the Yankees are even considering or have offered a sixth year and are at plus $30 million for Cody Bellinger, and that's not good enough for him, it's time to take the offer off the table or tell Cody, this is the best we're doing. It's either you say yes or we're moving on to other options because the Yankees were reportedly willing to go as high as 6 for 204, or at least Bob Klapisch thought that was a number that could get it done. So now Cody Bellinger has put himself in a position where he's going to ask or receive the fourth highest contract in terms of dollars in Yankee history, and that's still not good enough for him. This is a guy that was salary dumped by the Chicago Cubs last year, and he's holding up the Yankees for $36 million at 7 years. I don't think so. And there might not have been a bigger Cody Bellinger supporter in this space than me, and somebody that wanted Cody Bellinger back more than I did. But I am a Yankee fan above everything else. He's not Juan Soto. He's certainly not Aaron Judge. If you look at previous Yankee offseasons of guys that the Yankees have won out and chased that big money and rightfully so held up everything else the Yankees were doing that offseason. That's not Cody Bellinger. If he wants to think that he's 2019 Cody Bellinger, he's a former MVP, and he thinks that he can go and get generational money, God bless him. It's not going to be here. The Yankees are making more than a strong and fair effort to retain this guy. And if it's not good enough for him, it's time to say goodbye to Cody Bellinger. Go get Kyle Tucker. If you're willing to spend $200-plus million on an outfielder, go spend $300 and get Kyle Tucker. In fact, what the Yankees should be doing is preventing Bo Bichette from even hopping on a Zoom call with the Philadelphia Phillies on Monday and putting a number in front of him that makes him say, yeah, second base sounds pretty fucking good right about now. The fact that Cody Bellinger is hanging up the entire Yankee offseason, and it's January 11th as we're recording here, and they've made no significant moves, is absolutely ridiculous. If Juan Soto would have dragged this thing into January of last year, I would have been okay with it because it's Juan Soto. Excuse me, but I would have started again pissed off at Juan Soto that you can't make up your friggin' mind here. But this is a different situation. This is Cody Bellinger here. It's time to move on if you're the New York Yankees. If you don't want to move on fully, leave it on the table. Say, hey, listen, here's what we're offering. If you say yes if you say yes to it, fine, it's yours. But we're going out and we're talking to other people now. We're making a serious effort to bring in Bo Bichette. We're making a serious effort to go bring in Kyle Tucker. And if they say yes, guess what? This offer's off the table. So make up your mind. The Yankees have such extreme tunnel vision here that it seemed like all offseason it was going to be Cody Bellinger or nothing. Well, now that it's January 11th, you can't be left in a situation where it's nothing. I have my doubts, serious doubts, about whether the Yankees can survive the American League East even with Cody Bellinger, meaning I think they need to make even more improvements beyond that. Now, imagine if they walk away this offseason without even Cody Bellinger. That's why it's time, if you're the Yankees, to put the ultimatum on the table for the Cody Bellinger. Take it or leave it, because we're going after other players now. You know, we got to go out there and we got to try to appease this fan base. We got to go out there and try to compete in the American League, and we got to go out there and try to win a World Series. You can either be a part of that, or you can go to some place that is going to get tricked into giving you 6 or 7 years, whatever it may be. But this is our offer. If he doesn't like it, too bad. Like I said, this is Cody Bellinger here. The fact that Cody Bellinger is holding up the entire Yankee offseason is crazy right now. This isn't, like I said, think about the guys the Yankees have chased in big money in the past 5 or 6 years. Even Gerrit Cole, you could say Gerrit Cole is one of the best 10 pitchers in baseball. If you would have held up the Yankees offseason, you would have started to get twisted about it. But you could say it's Gerrit Cole. This is Cody Bellinger, man. The Cubs couldn't wait to get rid of him. And now he's going to hold up the entire offseason for the Yankees. If I'm Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner, I'm done right now. I'm absolutely done. That we made a second offer to him, and it's still not good enough. Now the money seems to be between 30 and 36. He wants 36. They want to be 30. And you hear that they can come to a number on that. But it's the seventh year. Bellinger and Boris aren't budging off of it. So go find it. Go find it somewhere. And if you get it, God bless you. That, you know, that's your power as a free agent in this marketplace to go and do it. But the Yankees, if they're even at a sixth year and their AAV is over 30, they've made more than a strong and competitive effort to bring back Cody Bellinger. And if that's not good enough for him, if that's not good enough for him to be a New York Yankee and to be in a lineup with Aaron Judge, I hate to say this, then fuck him. Go get somebody that wants to be here. There's still two premier offensive talents on this market that you can fit into your lineup seamlessly and be a better team than even if you brought back Cody Bellinger. So it's time to say goodbye to Cody Bellinger and on to whatever else may be next for the Yankees.
I mean, this gives me like DJ LeMahieu vibes. Like, I know DJ didn't hold up the contract, but here now you're gonna lengthen the give a aging player extended years and all that stuff. I don't, 6 years makes me nervous. There's no way that we touch seven. I think that would be insane. And I think it's actually crazy that Cody Bellinger and Scott Boras, for any length of, more than 10 seconds, are expecting to get that. I think that they need to come down to reality. But I've been texting you for weeks now. I'm over the belly shit. I don't care to have him back. This leaves a sour taste in my mouth. And it probably has a lot to do with the whole Juan Soto thing. Last year, we sat there, we waited for Soto to make a decision, and then it blew up in our face. And it's almost kind of like deja vu at this point. And I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to have to pivot and go to plan B and all that stuff. Listen, that was the whole excuse, like, oh, well, we didn't sign Soto and we went here plan B. Look how plan B worked out. But like, why are we taking so long to get to that point? If you sit down and you have negotiations and you're that far off right from the beginning, how do you expect to find middle ground? Clearly, Scott Boras is out of his mind. I think he's personally ruining baseball. So you know what? Just walk. You got Bo Bichette out there and you got Kyle Tucker, and neither one of them are Boras, represented. So you have that's a plus in itself. You don't have to deal with this maniac. Go out and talk to them, because not for nothing, Cody Bellinger, yeah, great. Did we like having him here? Yeah, we did like having him here. But ask us that. Go take your time machine and go back to the beginning of the season last year. Are we happy that he was here? No. We all wanted to chase him across the GWB with pitchforks and torches. He was horrible. And then he was sick from eating chicken wings. Like, it's just, it's it, no, I don't want to deal with this. And I don't, what happens when that again this season? What happens if he never comes back and you throw all this money at him? Then what do? Then the Yankees, are they're not quick to cut bait and, hightail it out of here. We just watched it happen with DJ LeMahieu. They strung him along and they try to make it work season after season, where we're like, enough of this. You want to have that happen with Cody Bellinger and get him a 6-year deal? There's going to be a no trade clause in it, so you're going to be stuck with him, and then you're going to have to eat the salary. No, let's move on and move on now. You're saying make him an offer, and you have these guys. No, I say, hey, we're retracting $2 million off the AAV a year. If you don't take this right now, we'll leave this on the table for you then at that. And if you don't get anything signed by then, you could come and you could talk to us. But there's still no guarantee that, fuck you. Goodbye. Send them packing, because this is business. This is baseball. You need to make other moves. They're not doing anything of significance. They're not making this team any better. We're all aggravated about the Trent Grisham thing. Then there's the it was for a fifth round draft pick, which makes it even that much more embarrassing that they really need to go out and do something here to reignite the fans' want to watch a game, because we're all pissed off. I read something the other day that Hal Steinbrenner is really, really, really wants to sign Cody Bellinger after, getting egg on his face after letting Soto go. Well, I think the egg's already on his face for this year, because you
That's
look
not
like an
what it
asshole
said.
chasing. And what did it say?
It said that he didn't want to chase him after getting egg on his face with Soto last year.
Oh, so don't chase him. Good. I think they're chasing him already.
Look,
So
they made a
cut bait
second
and let
offer to
go.
him. So obviously they want him. We all know the Yankees wanted him. We all know that this was their plan A and plan B this offseason. And look, we feared that the Yankees were going to go into this offseason thinking that they were a healthy Gerrit Cole away from the World Series last year. And everything that they've done so far this year has kind of led you to believe that as well. They weren't a healthy Gerrit Cole away from the World Series last year, because they, again, their deficiencies that we see time after time with this team in the postseason popped up again. They didn't hit a ton either. I mean, yeah, they got blitzed in games. They got blitzed pretty much every game in the DS, except for the one that Schlitler pitched. It's just that Aaron Judge capped off that historic comeback, that great comeback in game three with that home run. But, Rodon went out there. They were down, what, 6-0 in that game? So
Yeah.
it's not like they pitched well at all. So we know that they need starting pitching help for different reasons, but they didn't hit either. Before they got blown out in game one, they did nothing offensively. You can say, all right, you want to say that they lost 10-9, then you say the offense is fine, but they didn't. That's not what happened. They didn't score a bunch in the wild card series against the Red Sox either. It was that single from Wells when Jazz scored from first base that was pretty much, the deciding factor in game two. So they didn't do a whole lot offensively. So you can look at this lineup with Cody Bellinger and say this is the same thing they ran out last year. And then the geeks out there say, well, they had the highest this, they had the highest that. Yeah, the Yankees are good at one thing that we all know, and it's been time and time again throughout the course of the Aaron Boone era. They're good at beating up on bad baseball teams. That's how they get to their 90-plus wins every year. They're extremely good at it. They inflate their numbers by every time they go out there and they face mediocre pitching, and they hit a bunch of home runs, and they score a bunch of runs. So you can look at that lineup and say they hit the most this, they hit the most that, OP, whatever. It's great. It looks great on a sheet of paper, but it doesn't translate into winning games in October. So the Yankees needed to go out there and do more than just bring back Cody Bellinger. Because I'm going to say this again, and if you get tired of hearing it, I don't care. Because maybe it'll sink into your heads for once. Aaron Judge is going to be in his age 34 season here. How much longer are we going to expect Aaron Judge to be the best player in baseball? How much longer can we realistically expect Aaron Judge to be that guy? Is it this year? Is it next year? I mean, that window of being the elite top of the top is closing if it's not already going to be closing in 2026. I mean, to be at that level, he's been at that level for what, 4 years now. If you take out him running into a wall, he would have put up another massive, massive season in 2023. So it's 22, 23, 24, 25. He's had MVP seasons, basically. How much longer can we expect that? And I'll use this example again. He had 330 with 50 home runs last year. What if him taking a step back is 305 and 40, which is still great. It's awesome. It's still one of the best players in baseball. But the Yankees can't cover the difference when he's that guy. Now, what are they going to do when they lose 20 points off his batting average and 10 home runs? Where's that? Where are they going to add that in? Where is that going to come from? How are they going to make that up? So, yeah, they needed to do more than Cody Bellinger. That's why they need to look at this lineup and say, all right, we bring back Bellinger. Where else are we going to make an improvement here? Where else are we going to get an uptick in offense? Because it's not coming from Anthony Volpe. I think we all can agree on that. And he's not going to be ready for the first month of the season. So he's going to be playing catch up when he comes back. Do you believe in that, in Austin Wells? I would like
I
to believe
mean,
I would like to believe that maybe there's more there. He hit 20 home runs last year, but he was as an overall hitter, he was abysmal. First base, Ben Rice was, quote, the unluckiest hitter in baseball. I think he can be a 30 home run guy with 600 at bats, but is he a great hitter? Is he going to be a guy that ever hits more than 240, 250, which is fine if that's your first baseman. But where are you getting the help from? Even if Jazz replicates 2025 and he's in 30-30 again. Ryan McMahon, I mean, you can look at Ryan McMahon and say he wasn't even as good, which, excuse me, he wasn't very, as a hitter in Colorado. He wasn't even that guy as a Yankee. So is that somewhere you're looking at and say, oh, maybe a full year here, we'll get a guy that hits 230 or 240, which would be a big uptick, and can hit 25 home runs? Then you're expecting Trent Grisham, who never has done it, to hit 30 home runs again. It's a scary proposition for the Yankees to walk into the season looking at this roster and thinking that they can go and compete to be a world champion, even with Cody Bellinger. Because without Cody Bellinger is what now you're saying is we're just going to let Jason Dominguez fly. Jason Dominguez, whatever you and I feel about him, Yankees feel differently about him. Because I'll say this again, all you need to know about how the Yankees feel about Jason Dominguez is they allowed Trent Grisham the at bats last year. They allowed that to happen. Because if they gave Jason Dominguez the position like they gave Anthony Volpe the position, we would have never heard about Trent Grisham. We would have never had this discussion about how stupid it was to offer him a qualifying offer, and it would have been all over with. But what the Yankees looked at him and said, this isn't somebody that should get that type of run. This isn't somebody where we're putting all our eggs in that basket. So, let's sneak in Trent Grisham there, and we'll see who outplays who. And yeah, to Trent Grisham's credit, for especially power wise, he did outplay Jason Dominguez last year, but the Yankees allowed that to happen, which tells you everything you need to know about how they feel about Jason Dominguez. So where are they making up this offense from next year? That's why we're at the point now. It's you gotta tell Cody Bellinger, this is it. Take this or go find it somewhere else. Because we got to go out there and we got to seriously engage Kyle Tucker and we got to seriously engage Bo Bichette and we got to seriously put another offensive threat into this lineup with Aaron Judge. And if Cody Bellinger can't find the years that he wants, guess what? I'm more than willing to offer Cody Bellinger a very heavily loaded contract for the next 2 or 3 years. I'm more than willing to do that. Because I've always said that it shouldn't be Bo or Belly. It should be Bo and Belly. So I'm more than willing for him to come crawling back on his hands and knees and say, all right, you know what? Here's 105 for the next 3 years, and you can opt out after next year if you don't like it here. But the Yankees have to get better offensively. They can't close. If this is what they're doing, closing the door on Cody Bellinger, they can't do that and do nothing. And Austin Hayes, come on, spare me. Platooning with Jason Dominguez? No, that's not doing something. Just don't do anything at that point.
I don't want to hear the word platooning anymore. We've talked about this at length how many times, and it's okay. Yeah, Belly's having a or Jazz 30-30 season or their 30 home runs and all this, but it comes down to these, you know, small game situations where you just need to have clutch at bats, and that's where we need to make up the ground where we don't have it. And Austin Wells is an issue, obviously. There, Anthony Volpe is probably the biggest. Well, Anthony Volpe. I don't even know because I haven't looked at the numbers and I've been on La La Land, you know, for the past, you know, month and a half. But you got Anthony Volpe, Ryan McMahon, and Austin Wells, whose bats basically disappear in clutch situations. Nothing comes out of it. If they don't sign Belly, you can't tell me this team is even. I don't even feel that they're going to make it to the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to be a 500 team. Maybe I'm being too doom and gloom. I don't know, but it's
I mean,
ass.
I
The
think they're
team's
still good
offense is
enough
ass.
to win 80 plus games, whether or not that's good enough to get into the postseason.
But they're just ass. It's not a team that I feel comfortable in. It's
No,
not a team that
it's not a team that you're excited about.
I'm not investing. I already got in a fight with the ticket reps at Yankee Stadium. Told them I'm not renewing. They're telling me, well, you have to. I'm like, no, I don't. You know? But like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, I'm sure a lot of people are the same way because why, you know, why are they fighting with me to buy these tickets? Like, are they were actually arguing with me? So, what is drawing me to the stadium? Why am I going to spend my $100 before I even walk into the stadium? What's drawing me in? There's nothing there other than Aaron Judge. Giancarlo Stanton, listen. He was always been great for us. We always said, oh, we will take a Stanton hurt. We need October Stanton. We didn't have October Stanton this year because he just wasn't there. So is he done? You know what I'm saying? Who's going to replace these big time bats when it comes to the playoffs? I don't even think, like you said, Cody Bellinger isn't enough. No, you need Cody Bellinger and you need Bo Bichette. You need somebody to comp because there's too much left out there to, you know, is Jazz going to put up another 30-30 year? Who knows? The guy goes out there and he swings for the fences every time. Maybe he's not even going to hit 20 this year. You don't know. On top of the fact that there's rumors that they're shopping him around, which I'm sure that they are. Maybe he's going to have a bad attitude. Did he just get married?
Engaged.
Engaged? Maybe he's going to have his head someplace else. We don't know what's going to happen. And Bellinger would be a very nice piece to add. I don't not want Bellinger. I just don't want to deal with this nonsense anymore. This is somebody that we were told that called his agent and said, "Hey, get me to the Yankees." And his agent called the Yankees and like or the Cubs and, "Hey, get him to the, you know, all right, cool, great. He wants to be here. His dad, you know, played here and all that stuff." But like, you're gonna just string us along and tug our tits like this? Like, no, get out of, you know, I don't want to deal with it now. Now you've soured the taste of my mouth. Move on. I don't like I'm trying to you got Jason Dominguez, you don't know where his bat's gonna be. We don't know what Trent Grisham's gonna be. You would assume that you're gonna assume Aaron Judge is gonna be a great player regardless. Even if he has a down year, his down year is gonna be better than most than 95% of the league's up year. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You really don't know what you got with Ben Rice. Austin Wells is just the big unknown. Ryan McMahon sucks. Anthony Volpe fucking sucks. And Jazz Chisholm, you're just then you got to go to is Gerrit Cole going to come back and be Gerrit Cole? Cam Schlittler was freaking filth. Is he going to continue that? Okay. What's going to happen with Max? There's so many what ifs on this team. Go out and get somebody who's a positive, who's had that, because we don't have any of those sure thing players right now. To me, outside of Aaron Judge,
Well, the
I don't
crazy thing
think
is, go ahead.
there's anybody on this team that I have 1,000% trust and reliability in outside of Aaron Judge. The next person I would have my faith in would be Max Fried. There's really nobody else out there that I'm like.
It's just crazy to think that Cody Bellinger is holding up this entire market off of a year that was built off of Yankee Stadium. Because his home road splits are ridiculous here. He had 18 home runs away. I mean, excuse me. He had 18 home runs at Yankee Stadium, 11 on the road. He struck out 29 times at home, 51 on the road. His on base was 365 at home, 301 on the road. OPS 909 at home, 715 on the road. I mean, he was clearly a much, much better player. He was a player that could command this at Yankee Stadium. The problem is he had to go play his other 80 games on the road where he was a much more average baseball player. So maybe, I don't know, is he just chasing money here? Which again is his right. We've always said this. You know what? You are anybody that is in Major League Baseball is the top 1% of 1% of athletes in the world here, right? Even guys in the minor leagues are above that never cracked the big leagues. They're the top 1% of anybody you've ever seen play major professional baseball. So he has a unique opportunity that not a lot of people have, and that's to go out there and chase nine figures playing professional sports. So if that's all that matters to him, that's his God-given talent. He's allowed to do that. If he actually wants to be good and win, maybe he should look at the year that he had last year and how scary for other teams, and this could be another reason, this could be something that teams are looking at, how scary it was, how average he was last year away from Yankee Stadium, and how he was an all-star at Yankee Stadium. I mean, I'm not going to bring up Aaron Judge's road splits, but look at him. It's basically one to one on everything that he did because he's Aaron Judge, because he's the best player in baseball. This is not Cody Bellinger. This is not who he is. He benefited greatly from playing 80 games at Yankee Stadium last year. So, I mean, if you want to be good and have some sort of legacy here, maybe that's something you should consider with your agent and say, hey, if the Yankees are at 5 for 160 or whatever, I know I can hit 30 home runs playing at Yankee Stadium every year. Maybe that's better than another $40 million stretched out over another 2 years going to play for somebody that, you're going to hit 220, 230. Because I mean, if you want to look at some of Cody Bellinger's years, it is scary what Cody Bellinger's done in his career. That after the MVP season, he cratered. In 2020, which, I mean, we really, in 2019, he was the MVP of the National League, an OPS plus of 167. Coming off the COVID season, he had back-to-back years where he had an OPS plus in 2021 of 44, and then he had one in the 80s. He completely cratered for 2 years where he was non-tendered by the team that brought him up. Now, again, he rebounded very nicely with the Cubs, where he posted back-to-back OPS plus seasons. He had 139 in 2023 when he was healthy, which I think everybody remembers. The Yankees were in on Cody Bellinger at the trade deadline in 2023, but the Cubs decided they were going to hold on to him and didn't trade him. And then last in 2024, which Cody was a little banged up, he still was at 111, and he was 125 last year. So again, this isn't even one of Cody Bellinger's better years. You know, you look at it, he had OPS pluses of 143, 167, 139. So that was like his fourth best year last year. And he still had that crater in 2021 where he was non-tendered by the Dodgers. And that's in a lot of people's minds as well, where I look at the overall body of work and I think that it is a safe bet for me anyway, for Cody Bellinger. And he's a lot more athletic than DJ LeMahieu is, because I know that's a lot of where Yankee fans' minds go. So I think he will age better. But again, dude, you're not that guy. You're not the guy that should be holding up the Yankees' entire offseason. And that's what the problem is right now, is that he is, and the Yankees are way above whatever else is being offered, because if there was better offers on the table, we'd hear about him and he probably would have taken them. He's obviously waiting for something. So that's why, again, it's time. It's time to tell him, look, this is what our offer is. It's here until we sign somebody else. And then you go as hard as you can after whatever else is out there. And once the ink is dry on the contract, that offer's done. And if he still can't find what he's looking for, hey, you know what? You want $36 million a year? I'll give it to you for the next 3 years with opt-outs after the next two. You can call me crazy. I don't care. That's not a risk for me if I'm the Yankees to offer him $36 million a year for the next 3 years. And if he can put up another year like he did this year, and he wants to go back out into the market, great. That's even better. Because again, the Yankees aren't poor. They want to tell you that, and all this crap about the luxury tax, they're not poor. Okay, we know this. They can afford to bring in Bo Bichette and give Cody Bellinger that type of deal on 3 years.
Easily. Easily. I don't know. I would feel more comfortable with what you just proposed, but like when you're reading about it, and when you read 36, 37 million, 36, 37 million, and it says that he's looking for 6, 7 years, I mean, like, no way in hell. Not a sh I like that. I want nothing to do with him, because then he's just going to turn into another Giancarlo Stanton, where it's a prohibitive contract, and you don't sign people that are out there because of money like that. It's bad money. You're going to get a good, and you hope you're going to get a good couple of years out of them. But then you watch these guys. You listen, I think we all know how the free agency and everything like that in baseball is a little fucked up, and these guys can't go out and make big deals. Often they only get really one shot at it. If they're lucky, they get two shots at getting themselves, huge contracts. I get it, and I understand that they want to milk it for everything that for what it's worth. But like at the same time, like you got to come down to reality here, And you hear these numbers and you read about something, and you can't quote it as truth and say it's 100% real. But there's something behind it, or else somebody. It's not just like some random rumor that was made up here. When you got multiple people reporting it, it's insane. Like, why would you even get close to Aaron Judge money when you're not even doing half of what Aaron Judge is doing? You are not the star of the team. It's blasphemy. But the Yankees need to lose this one track mind, putting all your eggs in one basket bullshit, because even with what's going on with Belly, they should be out signing somebody else. You could do more than one thing at once. And this is what's also getting frustrating about it, because does Brian Cashman just not have the attention span to be able to deal with two contract negotiations at one time? Obviously there's holes in our infield. Bo Bichette's out there. He's one of the players that smacked us around all these times. What? Just go get him. He's a good player. We watch Bo Bichette play. We know he can play because he's in our division and we play against him all the time. He's a good player. Go out and go. And he shaved, he cut his hair too, so
The
he's
problem with
easier to
Bo
look
Bichette
at.
is that it requires the Yankees to get creative. And I think we're all scared about what that means, because you have to make a move. Signing Bo Bichette isn't just putting him on the team. It's requiring
No, Jazz is in the mix and all
it's
that stuff.
requiring you to do something. If you think Bo Bichette can handle third base, well, you just traded for Ryan McMahon, and you want to talk about bad money. This guy's owed $32 million over the next 2 years, and to be basically an ace defender. I mean, who besides the Yankees are willing to take that on? Unless you're just going to eat a bunch of it. And then we know the Yankees will rather just keep the player at that point.
But
Well,
see, they'll waste the money on that, but not where it should be wasted.
and then you look at Jazz Chisholm, where realistically a lot of people in baseball think the progression for Bo Bichette is over to second base. Well, that requires you to ask Jazz Chisholm to either move positions again, which you've done three times, which would be the third time now as a Yankee, because he was traded here as an outfielder, played third base, and now he's playing back to second base. So that's three position changes in what, 2 years here for
No.
him. So what do I say by moving positions? Now, I think a lot of you who's listening know that I've been a big proponent of trading Jazz Chisholm, because realistically, I'm not in love with him as a player. That I think there's a lot of puff behind those 30-30 numbers. He's in a walk year, so do you see the Yankees extending a 5 or 6, 7 year deal to him in the offseason? Is that something you want to do as a fan, to extend that type of money to Jazz Chisholm? So that's another
Me
reason.
personally, or just talking in general?
I mean, if you want to answer it, you can.
I wouldn't. I love Jazz Chisholm. I love Jazz Chisholm. I think that he's a different type of player, and he brings something else to the team that it's fun to watch. But it's his walk year, and we've let so many players go for nothing. If we could get something back from him, even if it, bye, and that's coming from someone who loves Jazz Chisholm.
So you have that factored in. You have the factor in that the Yankees outside of Aaron Judge have zero, and when I mean zero, I really legitimately mean zero right-handed batters in their everyday lineup. Outside, you want to count Stan, you can count Stan, but out of the guys that are going to walk on the field, actually walk on the field, they have zero right-handed batters in that lineup. So you look at a guy that is a tradable commodity and has value. I'm sure there's teams that would love Jazz Chisholm because he is a good baseball player. If he ever gets in the right headspace and plays to that 70% that we've always talked about and he's talked about as an electric baseball player, that there's value for Jazz Chisholm. So you could do that, or you know what? And I'll give Pete all the credit in the world for this. He's the one that brought it up in our group chat. What do you think about Jazz Chisholm playing left field? You don't sign Cody Bellinger, and Jazz Chisholm's your left fielder next year.
Whoa, I text you that like a week and a half ago.
Yeah,
You don't
but
give
he
me credit.
no, because he actually said it first.
But I'm not in that group chat, so I said it on my own.
Well, in your own mind, maybe you said it first, but I had heard the idea from him earlier than that.
But it makes sense. And
But
I
then
think that's what
again, you're
helps.
asking him to move positions again, and is he going to get cranky about it now?
Whatever.
Because he played
Who
center field in
cares?
Miami, and I think athletically he can play left field.
And then we end up with a Rafael Devers situation on our hands.
Okay, trade him. That's back to my
Why?
original point.
What is Jazz Chisholm making a year though?
What did he get? It's over 10. They just settled arbitration the other day. It's over 10.
Okay, so if you piss him off, it's $10 million. You know what I'm saying? You would just wasted $22 million on fucking Trent Grisham. You know what I'm saying? Like if he's going to be a rotten egg, bench his ass. Let him cry like Rodon in there. I don't care. But it makes sense. There's a guy that Jazz Chisholm can play outfield, infield. You know, he's a good utility player. And I think that my mind, and I think that's what got me starting to hop off the Cody Bellinger train was because Cody Bellinger is a great outfielder. And then the plus is he can play first base. But now you have Jazz who now has played second for us, third for us. I'm sure if we needed him in a pinch, could play shortstop. And you could put him in the outfield. So, you know what I'm saying? And then if he wants to be a pain in the ass, we're in the same position we're in now. What's the big deal? And then you play Dominguez.
So there's the Yankees settled all their arbitration cases a couple of days ago. I'll just read off the numbers quickly. Jazz 10.2, Bednar 9, Camilo Duvall 6.1, Volpe got 3.47, Hill got 2.16, Jose Caballero 2, and then Fernando Cruz 1.45. So they're not going to arbitration with anybody. All their contracts are signed for next year in that regard. So I think we hammered this Bellinger point enough, and I'm sure this is probably going to be a big talking point again next week, because either he'll have signed, he won't have signed, or we'll just be sitting here holding their dicks waiting for him to sign again next week. So I'm sure it'll be another big topic of conversation. But before the show runs too long here, let's get to a couple of things. The Yankees were apparently in on Edward Cabrera. We had heard that I think it was last Saturday or Sunday. There were negotiations, yada, yada, and then he goes to the Cubs. So apparently, to me, I get it that the fans are pissed. They want the Yankees to do something. So anytime there's a guy the Yankees are linked to and he doesn't go to the Yankees, they get upset. I'm not upset over this. We already have Edward Cabrera. His name is Luis Gil. Both guys have thrown one season in their careers above 100 innings. Both guys get hurt a lot. Obviously, that's the reason why they have only thrown 100 innings once in their careers. They have electric fastballs. You know, Cabrera's got a plus changeup. It's, you know, Gil's got the changeup slider combination. They both do not throw nearly enough strikes to be reliable in my eyes. They're the same guy almost. And the Cubs gave up their top prospect, or top three, I forget what it was, for him. So, you know, and I believe if I've read correctly that the main holdup for the Yankees was giving up Spencer Jones in that deal, which I'm not here or there on trading Spencer Jones. It's just gotta, you know, I'm not giving him away, but I'm definitely trading him if there's a player that I want for sure. So I'm not mad the Yankees didn't do that. They do need to do something here. We all know what the issues with the starting pitching, and this is something else that I've come around on, right? It's not that they've come around on this whole Bellinger thing. If you want him for five as a fan, you should want him for seven. Because, look, if the Yankees signed him for 7 years, I'm not going to make a big deal about it. He's a player that I want. I'll worry about the sixth and seventh year later. That was my point with Bellinger. That stop letting the Yankees convince you that they're poor, that they couldn't afford to absorb the seventh year, if that's where the contract took it. But I'm also now at this point that we're so far into this offseason and we're about a month away from spring training, you got to stop letting this guy hold everything up. And if he doesn't have the offers out there, you don't have to give it to him. If you wanted to go out there and compete with 6 and 7 year offers, that's a different story. But if he doesn't have them, there's no reason to offer it to him. So that's where I am with that. If you were thinking about, you know, a month ago, I said, if you want it for five, you want it for seven. That's to explain that. And also at the beginning of the year, I didn't think the Yankees were going to be looking for starting pitching because of the guys they had on the roster. Well, you take a deeper dive at the starting rotation. You know, you don't have Cole for the first 2 months, which is scary in and of itself already because he had Tommy John surgery before the season started last year. And he had the brace procedure, which means that these guys are getting back on the field sooner. And it seems like he's on the timetable for would be, quote, original Tommy John surgery. Rodon's going to miss the first month of the year. Schlittler is going to be pushing a wall innings-wise. We all know about Luis Gil, and he pushed his wall innings-wise, got hurt, is always hurt. Max Fried has had a little up and down with his injuries, had a massive workload last year. You need a little bit of protection. It's not... And even and Will Warren, you know, Will Warren's a guy that he's not a top of the rotation guy, had a big workload last year, his first real true big major league workload. And then you got Ryan Yarbrough that you want to pepper in to cover some innings. You need some protection. So now you hear the name is Freddie Peralta. And yeah, Freddie Peralta would be great for the Yankees. And as I've said time and time again, the allure of Freddie Peralta for the Yankees is that he makes $8 million. It's just a bonus that he's a top-of-the-rotation pitcher, whereas everybody else after Freddie Peralta, he's a top-of-the-rotation pitcher. It's a bonus that he makes $8 million. So you can see where the Yankees are with that. But you heard Ken Rosenthal report it that the ask for Peralta from the Yankees is Elmer Cruz Rodriguez, or Rodriguez Cruz. I'm sorry if I mixed it up there. Which they got in the Narvaez deal from the Red Sox, which he's shot up the Yankees ladder. He's somebody that could potentially make an impact for the Yankees at the big league level in 2026. A lot of people loved, has become their third-ranked prospect. That's a heavy ask for 1 year, Freddie Peralta. Is that something the Yankees are willing to do? Is that something that you want to do as a fan? A guy that has ascended to the point where he and Cam Schwittler could be the co-aces of this staff for the next 5 or 10 years. That you're willing to trade that for 1 year of Freddie Peralta. And hell, I can't be hypocritical in the sense that in the past I've said I'm willing to sell out to win for 2026. And that would be selling out to win for 2026. I've also heard Carlos LaGrange and Luis Gil were potential trade candidates for Freddie Peralta. Dude, I'll drive both of them to the airport right now. You know my position on Luis Gil. And LaGrange has got great electric stuff. He could be our Mason Miller, but you can't hold that up, a bullpen piece, which seemingly looks like where his trajectory is going, for an ace-level pitcher that you could throw out there with Cam Schwittler and Gerrit Cole and Max Fried in the friggin' postseason if you're trying to sell out to win in 2026. The Yankees can't be content with Ryan Yarbrough taking 8 or 10 starts until they get Rodon and Gerrit Cole back. That's not how you go and win a championship.
No. No, and then you miss winning the division by one game. I'm not trading in that situation. Like, I would trade Heal because, you know what you have, a prospect of that caliber, your third-ranked prospect. I'm not – in a year like this when I have no idea what's going on, this is, like, one of those years where, like – and I've said it multiple times. Like, I'm tired of, like, having these guys come up and then they suck or we let them go for nothing. But, like, this is a year where I'm, like, coveting everybody. I'm not letting anybody go because I have no idea what the Yankees are going to be come June, July. You know, acquire stuff at the trade deadline if we're actually winning. That's kind of where I'm at this year. You know, it's I want to see. There's too, like I said, there's too many unknowns. I'm not trying to break it out of the gate this year and say, hey, we need to win every game. I just want to see naturally how it happens, where we are, what's put together now. I don't want to get rid of any big prospects. You know, if they're not going to play Dominguez, he's one of the few that I'm like, okay, trade. I don't want Dominguez traded, but again, he's going to sit there and ride the pine for all of these months. You know, because of Trent Grisham. You know, or something, no, not because of Trent Grisham, but because, you know, you have to make room for him and whoever else we have. It's like, get rid of him before he's worth zero. But I'm not making any big trades like that where we're giving away big prospects. And I'm not going to fault Cashman or Steinbrenner or anybody for that matter, because you really don't know what you have. We might suck. We might trade all of them and we might still suck in the beginning of the season.
Well, you'll regret. I mean, you can't go into the season with that type of mindset, because if
I'm just heavily pessimistic this year.
Well, that's great, but I mean, if you don't want to win at any cost, then just come out and say that. Because if the Yankees have an offer like that on the table for Freddie Peralta, it's something that they have to really, you know, sit there and look at and say, and they can't have that thought process go into their mind. Because if we're sitting here saying that they think that they're Gerrit Cole away from winning a World Series, well, what do you think if you have Gerrit Cole and Freddie Peralta?
I mean, I get it. But, like, the whole problem is that the offense still isn't there.
Is this a – maybe then they should go out there and stop dicking around with Cody Bellinger and go put
in a premier
offensive player in this lineup and then go make a move like that.
I don't think that our starting lineup – I don't think pitching is our main problem, because their depth and all that. We're gonna run into bullpen problems. Like, yeah, we do it every year, especially because of injuries and all that stuff. And Clark Schmidt's not gonna come back at all this season, right?
They're saying August, no. But I'll believe it when I see it.
He's not gonna come. So we have that issue, whatever. But the whole problem is that you could go out, Gerrit Cole could come back and be Gerrit Cole and pitch an absolute fucking gem, and we could be sitting there, you know, like, gushing over him. He's going to come out of the game eventually, and, you know, someone's going to give up a run here and there, and we could still lose by one or two runs because our offense goes up there and does absolutely nothing.
Well,
and that was the story of this past season.
I mean, that's another reason why you got to go out there and potentially trade Josh Chisholm, get yourself some bullpen help, because all the top flight arms of the bullpen have kind of fallen off the board here while they're sitting there waiting for to figure out what they're doing with Cody. First of all, I read that the Yankees are waiting on Cody Bellinger to then go figure out what they're going to do with their bullpen. So what? You signed Cody.
Stupid.
So how is Cody, again, how is Cody Bellinger holding up building your friggin' bullpen here? The things are not mutually exclusive. If you want to tell me that Cody Bellinger is holding up the Yankees signing Kyle Tucker
it's a
or
one
Bo
mindset
Bichette,
that Cashman has.
it's not a one of one mindset for Cody Bellinger in a bullpen arm. It's a one of one mindset for Cody Bellinger and Kyle Tucker, obviously. You should be able to do Cody Bellinger and a bullpen arm, or Cody Bellinger and
Absolutely.
A starting pitcher. It's not, if you don't want to sign Bo Bichette because you have Cody Bellinger, that's a different story, which again, it's not one that I agree with, but I understand the mindset. I've always said that I have to be able to rationalize what the Yankees are doing to come on here and talk about it and have it to make sense and have a rational discussion about it. So if you're telling me Cody Bellinger's holding up Bo Bichette, yeah, I get it in their stupid minds that you're not going to sign two offensive players this year. But if you're telling me Cody Bellinger's holding up your friggin' bullpen, no.
Yeah,
now,
stupid.
Apparently it came out that they wanted Luke Weaver back. They were just stunned at the price that he got, and they were never going to swim in those waters for Luke Weaver, which I wouldn't have either, to be honest with you.
No. That was that I think surprised us all. But again, the Mets won our sloppy seconds, so they'll overpay for it, it seems. I don't know. But Yankees need to do something, because that one has nothing to do with the other. That really, it just seems like, is Brian Cashman not able to, you know, rub his stomach and pat his head at the same time? Is that what it is? He's just fucking retarded. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that you have an issue here in your bullpen that needs to be handled completely different than who you're trying to put into left field, right field, center field. You know, it doesn't matter. It's really just comes down to, and what it screams is, Hal Steinbrenner's cheap. And I don't want to go on for 10 hours about that, because we can do that. But like, that's really just what it screams. If they're, that's their reasoning that they haven't signed anybody for the bullpen yet, is that just Hal Steinbrenner is being cheap. He wants to cut salary, and he just wants to, you know, and
well, I'll say
that's
this.
Just,
if you don't like the prices on other team starting pitchers, it just furthers and forces the point. Why didn't you sign Tatsuya Imai? We're
yeah,
worried about
that pissed me off.
And it also ties this back into it. Wouldn't it have been a lot of fun to have an extra $22 million laying around for a team that's on a budget, apparently?
Which, again, it's just the more that comes out about that, the more infuriating it is.
So Brian Cashman, and look, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know. I knew the Yankees were at risk of having that comp pick slip because of the offender status on the luxury tax. I didn't know where or if it meant this year, but Joel Sherman reiterated on his podcast during the week when he had Michael Kay on that the comp pick they would have received from Trent Grisham if he had signed elsewhere would have fallen from the end of the first round to the end of the fourth round. So it means that the Yankees risked, they played this game of chicken with Trent Grisham for a fifth round draft pick is what they did. It just makes it that much worse. And you can follow me on Twitter at Chris_NYYST. You can go back a few days ago when I posted that on X, and you can see all the mouth breathing, low IQ people that were in my mentions about arguing with me about that. Look, we all know that the Yankees misread the market on Trent Grisham. Okay? We know this. The Yankees can tell you whatever they want to tell you. They were comfortable of bringing him back. No, they could have brought back Trent Grisham on a two-year deal at a lower annual value if that's what they wanted to do. And I think a lot of us would have probably been okay with that. I would have – personally, me, I would have walked away from him completely, but if they had signed him for like 2 for $26, 2 for $28, somewhere in that range, I said, okay, I'm not going to scream about it. But – They did not, in their heart of hearts, they did not want to pay Trent Grisham $22 million for this year. They misread the market and thought that they were going to get a draft pick for him. And it makes it just that much worse that they did it for what essentially would have turned out to be a fifth-round draft pick. When in baseball, there's probably no draft that's a bigger crapshoot than the Major League Baseball draft. So any first-round pick, especially these kids who come out of high school, by the time you cycle them through the minor league system, who the hell knows? And you did this for a fifth-round draft pick? And you missed out on an opportunity to get a guy like Tatsuya Imai? Or maybe you could have had some more money into funnel into an offer for a Kyle Tucker or a Bo Bichette? The Yankees messed up. They messed up. They misread the market on that. And now,
I think the
conversely, maybe Bellinger and Boris are misreading the market on what Bellinger's worth. When you look at Schwarber, Alonso, and Bregman, what they got. Bellinger is technically the youngest out of all of them, but is he the best out of all of them? They're all in that 30 to 32 range. They all graduated high school from 2011 to 2013. They're all right there. And Bellinger thinks he's going to pick 7 years just out of a hat. They're obviously not lining up, man.
Maybe Bellinger's going to end up, signing right before the, pitchers and catchers report. I don't know. It's just like I said. I think it's Scott Boras is ruining baseball. I think the guy, especially after the Soto friggin' deal, I think it's his ego's even worse. But it's just disgusting. The Imai thing, to me that doesn't make sense to me. When I saw that, especially when we talked about it, and then everybody was posting it, you saw it everywhere. What they paid, what's his name, Marcus Stroman, is what they, to be a bum. They would have paid this guy. It would have been a gamble because, obviously, going from the Japanese league to the American league, but like, okay. But I think that the Yankees would have brought in so much more money by signing him. Someone's an idiot because there's no way you allow that to happen because there's such a draw to New York City. There's so much tourism and the amount of people that they would have gotten to come in that would have been fans of that guy just on the days that he were pitching, they would have made their money back tenfold just in jersey sales.
I mean, if you looked around Yankee Stadium with the extra fans of Japanese descent that were in the ballpark when Hideki Matsui played or on a day that Masahiro Tanaka started, you would have had that. And you would have been able to sign sponsorship deals.
Yes.
This is a guy that loves money but then does stupid things like this.
Yes. Like, I was there this past year. It might have been on Schlittner's first day he played. And I'm looking around, I'm like, what the hell is this? And I'm like, what? Why does everybody have? It wasn't Japanese. I think it was Korean. And I don't want to confuse anybody. And I mean, no disrespect by any of that. But I'm pretty sure it was Korean Heritage Night. And the Yankees are pimping out Korean Heritage for their jerseys to get people into the stadium. And it was filled. It was jam-packed. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what am I missing here? And then I think Marisa figured it out. Now you're telling – Matsui used to see it. I completely forgot all about that. Not Matsui. Dude, my brain is just not working today. Tanaka. Well, Tanaka was there. Yes, people would show up just because they looked alike. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't make sense to me from a business perspective why you wouldn't tap into that. Because the Yankees don't really have that. Soto's not there. How many people are out there with Dominican flags every day? Is Dominican? I'm trying not to be offensive when I say this stuff. But you see people there with the flags out. Like, oh, Soto. You see when Tatis Jr. comes to the stadium, you see it. Like, people are proud to represent and root for people that come from where they're from or that look like them. Why they would let that slip through their fingers for such a menial amount of money when it comes to it is just it blows my mind.
Well, your mind is going to be continue to be blown here probably for foreseeable future
for the rest of my life until Hal Steinbrenner is not around anymore.
We might get some bad news tomorrow as a Yankee fan, as Bo Bichette is meeting with the Phillies. I know a lot of Yankee fans have their eyes on Bo Bichette, so that's something to watch. This Bellinger saga, which way it's going to unfold, and then if Kyle Tucker does become an actual possibility for the Yankees. So, I mean, we're about a month away from spring training, and it's not looking good for the Yankees' prospects in terms of being a real championship contender in 2026. But we'll be here to talk about it. As I said, the new schedule for the show, we will drop 6 a.m. every Monday morning throughout the entirety of the offseason and into the regular season. He might be a little bit flexible during the off season, but so that's why it's important to be subscribed to the show on the very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now. And also, if you missed it at the beginning of the show, my new limited run Rocky podcast, The Thrill of the Fight, 50 Years of Rocky, will debut this Wednesday, the 14th, and it will be available on this very same feed. So if you were interested in checking that out, you're in the right place here, right here on the NYYST feed here on your favorite podcast platform. And go check out NYY Underground. I'll be there live with the fellas on Thursday talking Yankee baseball, so subscribe there as well. I want to thank everybody for their continued support of NYYST as we enter our final season. And we want to thank, I don't know, it's like a problem I have. It's like my body knows it's time to end the show, and it just drops this frog right there, so I can't spit out the very last sentence that I need to. So thank you very much for your continued support, and thank you for listening to episode 508. Sem, say goodbye.
Goodbye.